Wednesday.
Hazal, that the gula is kofitz, and so on. Now he's going to explain another knetch, the same inyan of kfitza. We spoke yesterday. We spoke about the inyan of kfitza, the fact that it's going quickly towards the gulas. It's a type of flying towards that. Now he's going to explain another aspect. In the word kofitz, it's interesting that when you describe something in language that is a metaphor, you can pack in a lot more information than you could straight out. So kfitza, on the one hand, tells me there's something ness about it. It's not a straight malach like walking. That was the point we made yesterday. And now we're going to see the opposite part of it, that it's not quite like flying. So he says like this, v'oid nira. It's in Nun Beis on the left side, towards the first third or quarter. V'oid nira. Kibala medrash efayash kinikra ashach ha'yeles. Why is the shach called ha'yeles? Ki ashach ho yoytze min ha'choyshach ala oir. K'moy ha'yele, she'koyfiz mo'kzel mo'kamacha. V'chein ashach ha'ksh'oyle min ha'choyshach ha'godl, she'lefneze ala oir, dovaze nikra kfitza mi'mokam le'mokam acha. So going from darkness to light is called kfitza. V'ze ne'ma la ge'ula, kash Hashem Yisbaruch malis Yisrael min choyshach ha'golos. El oir ha-geula, nikrze she-koyfitz kayolo, u-moitz Yisrael min choyshach ha-golos al ha-geula. So the process of taking Klai Yisrael from the golos to the geula is called kfitze. Ki mitchilo hoya bitzora, v'day hoy she-yoytze oysa min ha-tzora. Avo yotze min ha-tzora she-yoytzeim soneyem limshul behem, v'yimoshlu b'soneyem, l'chein nikra geula zois ayelas u-pirse nochen. So he's saying over here a knetch that the fact is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka, it's not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed them from a tzara. In other words, what was the problem? The problem was Achashverosh was on top of them. So fine, so get him away. Be mevatel gzeira. For instance, using the mashal he gave, the first part of the night is bearable. The second part of the night, last part, is impossible. So he could just reverse it and go back to like the beginning of the night. But this was a kfitza, means we got from point A to point B that's discontinuous, which is a place that is completely different. Then he brings Obi Yishalmi, Reb Chiya ba'Abba, Reb Shimon ba'Chalavtai, Mahalchem ba'Do Bikasa da'Arbel. They were walking in a certain valley, very famous Gemara. V'ro'a ayelas ha'shacha, they saw the breaking of the dawn. Omer Reb Chiya told him, Kachi gulosan she Yisrael. This is how the gula of Kasa works. Amaloi Hainuch Siv ki Esha Bechoshech Hashem Orli. Tchilahi Be'or Kima. First, it gets light a little bit. Just like when it gets daylight, there's a slow process. Vacharka Fayika Chomenes Alvushas Asus. Vacharka Fatim Kisal Yehudim. Vacharka Mortes Ve'amelech. Vacharka Moisair Vesimchas Asmikar. That's one point that he's going to be Mazbe soon. The second point in that Chazal, Omer Bidreb Simin. A house that has snakes in it, you bring a horn of this type of ayeles, and you burn it, and the choshim run away. So now this is the Yerushalmi. He's quoted Yerushalmi, and he's going to explain both halves. The lav dafka connected, but each one has a point. Ki ha'yolo hi koyfetzes mi mokum la mokum, achi misrachekes moid. An ayolo keeps jumping from place to place until she gets very far away. Kach gulosan she yisrael fi madreges ha'geula, shehi min Hashem yisbarach, ein ha'geula bepamachas alazeach hazeh. Since the geula is a madrege from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not one shot, shein boim ala madrege lirindos pam echot. And so on. Let's explain this. Let's talk about this, because this is the point that he's making here. When you have normally when we talk about Golos and Geula, what we talk about is the problems. In other words, we say we're in Golos. So there's tzores, there's problems, there's this, there's that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of it. That is the way colloquially we address Golas and Gula. It's absolutely not true. I mean, it's true that there's Tzaris, but that's certainly not the definition of Golas and Gula. The word Golas means to send somebody off. If somebody is wandering around on a business trip for weeks in five-star hotels, he's still in Golas. Golas means that we don't have our makom. That's what Golas means. Or better said, since Eretz Yisrael is the makom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Golas means HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us out, we shouldn't be by him. Geula means shuvay like kigalticha. Geula is the process where you take back in that which went out. So when we speak of Golas and Geula, we mean the sense of having been nisrachik from our place. Specifically, Eretz Yisrael, in as much as Yisrael is the place where a person can be most close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael is Golas, and the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us back in again is Geula. The tzaras that come with it are really a result of it in a sense. It's part and parcel, just like if you're not home, you get sick, you don't feel well, it's easy for people to attack you. There are issues with not being home, but that's not the core definition of Golas and Gula. The core definition is we're not home, and even if we're physically not in Israel, in so much as the Kadosh Baruch is not there, we're still not home, it doesn't make a difference, and that is Golas, not as Gula. So the process of Geula is not a process of helping us. That's Yeshua. Yeshua means we're in trouble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out. The process of Geula is bringing us back towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Geula is defined in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms. It's the darga and the hiskarvus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu so wishes. And therefore, you can't limit it. You can't say in one shot. In other words, if I were able to do it in one shot, there's a halacha we'll learn in Shabbos and Mitzvah Shem. The definition of tzeda is if you can't capture something in one shot. If let's say there's a deer in a house that's so small that it takes one shot to grab hold of it, that's called that it's already tzad, it's nitzoid, it's oimit v'nitzoid, and you're not chayev on it. If you need two shots to get to it, that's already called seder. Anything that's within a hand reach means that I'm there really. It's just a question of grabbing it. So when we're in Geula, we're not there, and Bal Korchach, we don't have many, many dargas to go with. We can't do it. We have to do it in steps. So kfitza on the one hand is a jump. On the other hand, it requires a lot of kfitzas to get there. I want to apply this nekuda shtekel because I think it's an important nekuda. So first of all, the geula, people misinterpret. This chazal is quoted a lot, especially in modern political contexts, that that the process happening at Yisrael is a slow process towards the final Geula based on this Chazal. This Chazal is talking about the Ruchniyistika part of it. In other words, Kalal Yisrael moves forward by steps and steps, and therefore it can't be in one shot because we can't become completely different in one shot. I want to apply this, I guess, in a Lemaisa setting, because it is very relevant. Any person that wants to grow in some way, a person wants to steig, so you put in front of him a model of, I don't know, Chavetz Chaim, or you take the perfect Ben Torah, the perfect Talmud Chacham, and you paint that model and you say, Kazer Evik Hadesh. The problem is, even as a goal, it's not for us really a great goal, because it's not even shayach b'schiachas for us. I mean, it's not a goal for me. It's the marshal. If I live very in a cramped house, and I'm looking to enlarge, so if I have a 3-bedroom house, an agent is going to show me a 4-bedroom house, 5-bedroom house. He's not going to show me a 25-bedroom mansion. It's not. You don't move up from a three-bedroom house to a 25-room mansion. It's not shayach even within the parasha. So on the one hand, a ruchniyistika steiging is a kfitza. It's very hard for most people to get a sense of lamash. When a person loses weight, he loses a pound each week, or half a pound each week. It's physical, and it's very, very linear. In ruchnis, it doesn't go like that. A person tries, and then there is a sudden aliyah. All of a sudden, things snap into place. That's true, but it's going to go in discrete steps. It's going to go in specific leaps. It's not going to be one long flight. It can't be, because if the goal is something that's close to perfect, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or whatever you want to call it, we don't make it in one shot. So on the one hand, it's important to understand you have to break it down into mid pieces, like a kfitza. It'll be many kfitzas, but each step will happen. There'll be a kfitza, and a person will find himself, if he puts enough energy, just like when you jump, you put a lot of energy into it, and then you're much further ahead than you thought you were. That is the pchinas of gula, because in one shot it can't be kagula nikris or uksiv kashem early klima. The goyel is a kadosh baruch hu. V'dovaze efshashia pam achas legoyel ashifle sheisol begalusan umal yusan al yoyin asheishem begulusan. It's not possible it should go in one shot, because golus is a dag of shiflus, geula is measured in a kadosh baruch hu standards, and it doesn't go in one shot. Olkachin pam achas. So Meral says, gives us a very complete hagdara to a musig of kfitza. Halicha is a teva process. When you walk, it's completely within nature. You can tell exactly where the last step ended and this step is going to continue. I can tell you exactly where the next foot is going to place itself. There is never a foot off the ground, and it's completely natural. Just like when I'm rolling a ball, I can tell you exactly where it's going to go. On the other hand, you have a FIFA, you have flying, which is only shayach if you can fly from point A to point B, means that you're there really. It means that you're in that same framework. And then you have a mid-darga, which is called kfitza, which on the one hand, you can't do it in one shot. It can't be done with a FIFA, because you are way too far to do it that way. And yet, from point to point, there is an element of above time. And it's exactly the nimshal of Esther. It was a process. It wasn't a kriyas yamsuf or a malach or whatever it was. And yet, the steps seem to not be a natural evolutionary pattern. It's you jumped from being part of the Suda to Haman being the Skadl, from Haman being the Skadl to Achashverosh becoming Malka, Haman being Goyza Kaisol, Esther inviting him, and so on. Each one is a jump, so there's a sense of continuity and teva mitzad the fact that you're touching ground at different places. And Meirach Gisa, it's not a hemshech that's tiviastic. Good. He's finished with this point. Now he's going to explain the second point. If you have a house with snakes, you drive them out by bringing in a keren, a horn of an ayel, and the chashim go away. Bo loima ki lekach nikris esta ayelas, ki gam kein ki keren ayelas mavriach an chashim. Let's explain this a little bit. He's not Meirach. This is all he says about it. And let's talk about it a little bit. A nochash is always a simon of ra. Also, by the way, I vaguely recall that in colonial America, they used to build houses with logs, and there was a problem of snakes, They used to hide the logs in the winter and come out later, so they would smoke them out. I think smoking out was an accepted practice. Somewhere vaguely I recall something along those lines. But obviously we're talking here about something that is very, very... It's something that is much deeper than that. I mean, just because you smoke out a snake, it's not a reason to be called Nayala and so on. There's a teichen over here. So let's talk a little bit about this. The Nachash, I mean, we saw in Shabbos, in the Ikrim, that just because you dash in the depth of something is not mafkir a pshat from something. The Chazal very much used some physical metaphors to explain things that are much deeper, especially in these inyanim. A snake is always considered to be Ra itself. It's very simple. The Nachash was the one that was Chayte. He was instrumental. He was the first Meisim Ediach, and he is Ra Be'etzim. So Nachashim are always considered Ra Be'etzim. And anything that's bad is considered a Nachash. Fine. Amalek, the Zohar says, is like a Chav Yabisha on Eima Drachim. Like a bad snake that stands at the crossroads and bites whoever goes by. So that's that. The problem with a snake is it's very hard to fight a snake head on, because they're very slippery. They slip in between the cracks. They blend in and they bite very rapidly. The pusik, when it uses a mussel of a snake, like it says, like a shfifon ali derech, by the bracha of God, he's like a nochash on the derech, that the mighty warrior is going with his horse and his spear and his armor, and all of a sudden from the bottom there's a bite in the horse, and he with the horse with the armor with everything goes down the drain. So the a snake is very difficult to get at, because he creeps into within. The derech of a snake is to be under the rock, inside the crack, in the attic. And that makes one of the things that makes a snake very dangerous, and so on. So the snake is specifically the ra that is difficult, because it's very slippery and so on. The Chazal say that a snake has a chush hareach. A snake has a very sensitive smell. It says, the Gemara Shabbos says that if you roast meat, or wine or whatever, it attracts the snakes. Because something which has something which has reach to it is moishach the snakes. Reach is a phenomena that is kemat spiritual. In other words, when you eat something, the food itself is very material, very physical. That's the chayfetz. The smell is always something ethereal, something very ruchni. It says l'moshel, the Gemara dashes, you make a bracha on reyach, because it says kol neshama tahalul ka. Even something that only the neshama is nene, you make a bracha, because it's something which is kind of neshamadik. That's the metzius of reyach. I saw somebody shtals too very beautifully. It says that that's why Nachash was niskane from Adam, because he saw the malachim what tzeilin basa and mesan and yain. They roasted meat and prepared wine for him. So he was very niskane. So so someone points out that that's the pshat, because both of these things give off a smell. When you smoke, the hechetimtza of bringing the reyach out of something is by smoking it. The Gemara says, l'moshel, on Shabbos, are you allowed to do goymer? Not on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. Goymer is, they used to take psomim and put it on a fire, and that would release the pleasant odor, like incense. That would release the pleasant odor, and it would fill up the room. The Ktores was a reach. It says Karbonis had to be roasted on the Mizbeach because that gave the Reach Nichoach. Roasting brings out the smell, cooking much less so, because the chetimtza for Reach is through burning the thing. When you destroy the gashmias of it, the physical of it, it releases the Reach. That's, you crush something, it gives out the Reach. That is the metzias of Reach. When a person has an over davera, a person has a very X, Y, or Z that he's battling with, the way to deal with it is head on. I'm not doing this, I'm doing this. So there's a direct way to do it. What do you do with the things that are sneaky, imperceptible, ra within a person? It's hard to deal with it head on because it's not there head on. You know, it's the chelik of ra in a person like a nachash, where it kind of seeps in and doesn't. Most animals physically attack you, and you see very clearly it cuts, it breaks, it bruises, it bites. The eros of a nachash comes in from the inside, so it's very hard to deal with. The only way it deals with it is, you know, it's what brings in kedusha into an imperceptible and pnimistika level. The zelumaseh is what we call reyach. In other words, the content of the mitzvahs. When a person, the maisa mitzvahs are connected to maisa veris. Connected to rav and nachash, there's some sort of sense that we call the reyach. The more imperceptible part, the part that kind of is the toichen of the mitzvahs. So a lot of times a person has a decision, lamashal. If a person has a shaila, is this mutter to do or this asa to do? So lamaisa, he goes and he has a shaila. I allow to do this on Shabbos or not? So a shaila on halacha has a tshuva. Can I cut the thing this way? Can I cut it that way? Can I cut it the other way? So the answer to that is yes or no. Let's say a person has a shaila. Is it okay to dress up in a basketball uniform and play basketball on Shabbos? The shaila really is not a halacha shaila. The shaila is a lot more mitzad de reach. In other words, is it Shabbostik? I mean, is this for the person who's brought up only with strict halacha, if it says it's mutter, also asa, it might end up saying it's mutter. For a person that has a sense of the reach shaboy, then it's not. It's just not. This is not what I'm supposed to do. The someone once told my father, there was a person who lived on the Lower East Side who was a Chassidish Rebbe, came from very, very big yichus. And he was a Rebbe, so didn't have many Chassidim, very big tzaddik, so he had a brother in Eretz Yisrael who was much more modern. He trimmed his beard, he clipped his begadim, he wore, you know, fairly modern begadim, and he lived in a very upscale, mixed neighborhood in Yerushalayim, and he worked in a government office, and kind of felt that he was doing a lot better than his brother in the sense he's earning his own living, and he's balbatish, and that. He had a sense of being... And he would come occasionally to America, and he would tell my father that he felt he's really doing the right thing, and so on and so forth. And one day he comes, and he told my father he quit his job. My father asked him what happened. He said he was sitting in the office smoking a cigarette. And a woman in pants came over and asked him for a light, and he gave her. And as he was standing there, he said to himself, "Sons of Rebbe's Einikel, where are you?" And he said, from that moment he felt he doesn't belong there, and he stopped and he basically left the job, and that was it. It's hard to think that that's the worst avera. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't say anything more about the whole thing. But what caused it, also something about it said, "Where am I?" You know, Ayeka. It just didn't feel right. For the chelik of Ra, that it's clearly described and clearly pictured and clearly portrayed, so there's a chelik of Shachar that's clearly pictured, clearly portrayed, and so on. For the nochash, the only thing that combats a nachash is a reach. You walk into the house, it looks okay, it's fine. When the nachash attacks, it's way too late. So what you have to do is you have to bring a reach into the house that will drive out the nachashim. The Zelum said, in a place that has a reach of toiv, a nachash has no makum. There's a lot of spoken about in your reach by Chassidus. By Chassidim it says Adas connected the chaytim, connect the nose. Mordechai is Mardachia from a Lashon Psomim, Mardoror. Chazal, when the same Chazal that he brings with Ridashin, where how do you know Mordechai and Atiras? He says Mardachia, that it's Mardoror. Hadassah is Hadassim. Esther's called Hadassah. It is Reach. It has Reach no Tam. There's a lot of spoken in Sfar Bnei Sasch, has a lot on it about the Nekud of Reach. But this Nekud, the way we're explaining it, is I think the Mechuvin what he's trying to say. The Chelek of Ra, that's Nachash, is hard to battle overtly with. The Chelek of Toiv, that has the same Maila as the Nachash, that it's subtle, that it's kind of within, rather than the thing itself, is the Pchinas Reach of Toiv. It says the Keteris was Megarish to Malach HaMavis. Same thing. Malach HaMavis is the Nachash. It's the same barrier. Same. Keteris has that Koyach, and that's the Pshat what he says over here. She's called an Ayala. Ayala has this Nekud of Reach in its Keren that drives out Nachashim, and B'meila. The gula comes as lamnatzecha layela sashacha. It's part of. It's one of the dimensions of the gula that it has that koyach in itself. Okay, we'll hold it.
Rabbi was saying this chazal about the shachar and the